Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
I want to talk to you these next 3 weeks about a subject called In the Gap. And I want to read a scripture to you that God's word speaks to this issue, and it's in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30 says this. God said, I looked for a man. Say it out loud. God's looking for somebody. He said, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap. Say it out loud, in the gap.
In the gap.
On behalf of the land. And then there were some other things. And I'll unpack this verse in the weeks to come. But he said, but I found none. It's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Because God uses people to be able to rescue other people in his name and by his power. You show up as a human and he shows up with his power. And I want to talk to you this in these next 3 weeks about what it means to be in the gap. And I want you to actually see people that actually are in the gap, that hinge between your yielding to God for the reason he made you on planet Earth or not. Because there is an outcome to your obedience. There is an outcome to my disobedience. If you're a part of Victory, you know that about kingdom builders, and I'll be talking to you about that these 3 weeks. Kingdom builders is what we do as a church. It's our collective way to stand in the gap for what God is wanting to do in the earth. And if you know, I'm not going to go into depth right now, but kingdom builders is threefold. It's global and world mission projects and global missions. And then it's the local church in the U.S. and all the things that would come around God working in our own nation and even in our own location, in our own region, even in our very own city of Pittsburgh. And then the third is the development of future Christian leaders. And these are the things that we're doing outside the walls of this church, to give and to live outside the walls of this church. Because God has called every one of us. Now listen, please, this is so important. Not the person down the row, not you when you get your life together. God has called every one of us, every one of us, every one of us, every one of us to stand in the gap. I want you to see something that's happening right now in the nation, and has been happening in the nation of Syria. And I want you to see where the people that you're about to look at actually are somebody that we're involved with kingdom builders. And I want you to understand as we get into today, how they stand in the gap. What we do in these next 3 weeks is going to be a determining factor of what happens to these precious people. And so I want you to just take a look at this video quickly, just a minute long or so. And then I want to just carry you into this message today, because we're going to end. And I know God's going to do something so amazing. He did it last night. And I've been praying about this. Oh, man, I'll tell you, there's something so great that God's wanting to do. And let me say this, next week, I'm going to be sharing something with you that was absolutely a supernatural direction that God's put in my heart. And we saw something that I had. And if you've come here any length of time, you don't hear me say those things often at all. But it was so real, and it's so incredible. And next week, as we go into the second part of this, I'm going to share it with you. But take a look at this video, and then we're going to talk about how to stand in the gap. Take a look.
I am Ramadan from Syria. We were living our lives in peace, and suddenly, the war started. We were exposed to a lot in this war, and the most thing that was happening is kidnappings. They kidnapped the children, contacted their parents, and demanded a financial ransom to return them.
We saw the bodies of women naked and lying in parks and on the roadside after they raped and abused them. We were scared and decided to flee to Lebanon.
Syrians are stuck with us, hopeless in Lebanon. Why? They came to Lebanon with their kids, fleeing the war and death, hoping to get an asylum to the West. And they are waiting, some of them for 8 years, with no jobs and no help at all, except those receiving little help from the church. They can't return to Syria because no house is left. Army will take the boys and men to fight and die. Male will be in jail for quitting the Syrian army. Families will kill them because now they accepted Jesus. They have no legal papers that allowed them to work. They come to church, to food, and financial support. We have around 70 families at the Life Center. Those accepted Jesus facing threats of death every day. No food, no medical assistance, no schools for their kids, no milk for babies, no diapers, no rent, no works, no jobs, no hope to travel. Can't turn to Syria, can't afford to pay rent, threats to be thrown on the streets. Daily threats by their unsaved families inside Lebanon and Syria. No assistance whatsoever from no one except the church. The church is full of them. We have only prayer and prayer, and they only seeking help.
You know, that's happening right now. And the ministry that we support, one of the ministry projects that we're doing with Kingdom Builders is we're helping Mutual Faith Ministries as they build a life center right in Beirut, Lebanon. And the refugees from Syria have poured in by the tens of thousands. And just like you saw that they have nothing, they have no one. And what I want to talk to you about today is ministries like that that actually stand in the gap. And I want you, my hope today is to help you understand as a kingdom builder what God has called us to be. Haley Scherz was here a few weeks ago with her husband Walker. They're missionaries in Africa. And I love the statement that she makes. She said, the church and God's people must be the last stop for broken humanity. That's why you're on the earth. All of us have things we have to battle in our life. But can I tell you that if you'll live your life the way God intended you to live it, there's no greater way to live your life than to being the last stop for broken humanity, because that's what Jesus did for me. That's what he did for you. As kingdom builders this year, and our program, we're calling it, if you will, it's just an avenue through which that we are collecting, if you will, a focus to live and to give outside the walls of this church in the three areas that I mentioned a bit before. That we're going to do mission projects and global around the world, and then that in the nation and locally, and raising up future generations of Christian leaders. And there's a project book you can look at online or pick one up on your way out. But in 2019, we as a church are trusting God to be able to give beyond anything in this church, outside, totally outside the walls of this church, $1.4 million. And that's to literally go outside the walls of this church so that we truly can be kingdom builders. Now, already coming to this point of the year, you've already given into that $1.4 million goal, $750,000. So thank you so much for your obedience. It's incredible. Now, on November 9th and 10th, 2 weeks from now, we're going to receive what we're calling an impact offering. That's where I'm going to ask every one of you to see what God would put in your heart to be able to do to reach that goal. And you would say to me, well, you know, that's a pretty big number. Can I encourage you this? Don't do the math. Do your part. Don't do the math. Just do your part. And here's what I'm trusting God for, is for 100% of the people in this church to do something that God would lead you to do. Whatever that may be, but not the second or third person, but if every, listen to me, please, if every one of us, will commit to living outside the walls of our own life, our own needs and our own problems, and be able to serve outside of the walls of this church in your own life. It is the mission and heart of God for every person to do this. In the gap stands ministries like Mutual Faith Ministries. In the gap are people that, like you have just seen in Syria, that have had to escape to Lebanon. And here's what I want you to understand, that when being a kingdom builder is when you realize that you are God's answer to someone else's nightmare. Listen to me, please. God has called you to be the answer to someone else's nightmare. But the world in which we live, we're so overwhelmed with needs. That's why you'll hear us over and over again talk about the big four. It's why we always start with telling you that the mission of this church is to help all people realize God loves them unconditionally. Once you know that, it changes everything. And then you can know Him. So know God. Then find freedom in your life. And then discover the purpose of your life. Why am I here? But it culminates in making an impact. To make an impact beyond your bills, beyond your pleasure, beyond your problems, beyond your sorrow. To live outside the walls of your own life. To learn to live and to give like God has called us to live and to give. And so, but we all face this terminology, and I think it's a good terminology, compassion fatigue. Television, constantly, every horrible thing in the world, breaking news, we're inundated with the worst things, from natural disasters to horrific things. If you're on Facebook, it's kind of weird because you'll see something horrific and a loss of a loved one or a horrible tragedy and this terrible thing happening, and then they'll see a kitten playing. And it kind of all blends together, and we get what is called compassion fatigue. And if it happens to all of us. It's impossible without the heart of God for that not to happen to you. It's almost a defense mechanism. But I wrote this down probably about 2-3 months ago as it came up in my heart. And here's the sentence, and I want you to actually see it as I read it. Compassion fatigue goes away when you place yourself, someone you love, or one of your children or grandchildren in that circumstance. It goes away. And in fact, it stops just being compassion. It becomes desperation. If you want your heart to go where God's heart is, then it isn't just trying to do something because, well, you know, I need to do something for someone else, kind of like, you know, getting the mail. This is what drove God to rescue you and me. This is what, it wasn't that God had compassion on us. It was moved beyond compassion that He so loved us and so intimately loved us that He became so desperate that the sin punishment that was due you and due me, and a righteous God must punish sin. He said, though I am righteous and sin must be punished, I will robe myself in flesh born of a virgin, and I will come and become one of them, and I will live sinlessly before them, and that I will die on a cross as a sinless, spotless lamb. And all of the wrath of God that was due you and due me, He poured out on Himself. That's a desperation. And when you understand that kind of love and you receive it, it begins to come back out of you and return to other people. And my heart today is to help you understand that if you're really going to be a kingdom builder, it's just like what's happening right now in Lebanon. If I were to put my two daughters, having lived in Syria, and my two girls were growing up there and they were there, and they were coming home as teenagers, and seeing the bodies of naked women on the sides of the road who had been sexually abused and tortured and thrown away like garbage, and coming home and then we've got to get out of here, and leaving with the clothes on their back and the terror they had to feel. If these were my girls, and then they were brought into Lebanon, and they got into Lebanon, but they didn't know anybody and they had no money and there was no structure to take care of them. What would I do to change that situation? That's not called compassion. That's called desperation. I would swim the ocean if I could, and so would you. That's what happens to the heart of a believer who is touched with the heart of God. That's why I'm desperate for you to know God, not church, not religion, not a halfway God here on a weekend, 2 hours a day. What I want Him to so consume you with His love that this world changes when that love passes through you. That's what you're called to do with your life. And it's not a have to. I want you to understand it is an absolute get to. And when you love like this, something happens in you. And that's why today people that even are in hell long to be a kingdom builder. What do you mean by that? I want you to see where Jesus spoke of an actual circumstance, where Jesus spoke of a man who went to hell. So I don't like that. I choose not to believe in a hell. You can choose to believe whatever you want. It doesn't change reality. You can choose to believe that tomorrow will be Thursday. It will be Monday. It doesn't matter what you believe. Well, that's my truth. God bless you. Hope you can get some counseling and figure that one out. But here's the absolute reality I want you to see. Jesus said there was a heaven and there was a hell. And Jesus paid an awesome price so that men and women never have to go to that prison house of suffering. But I want you to see that even in hell, there's memory. You remember your former life. Listen to it. In Luke chapter 16, verse 19, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus. He was covered with sores, and he longed to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames," or in this fire. But Abraham replied, "Son, remember in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. Besides all this, between us and between you is a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who want to go, even when you're on the other side of life, those who want to go from here to there cannot, nor can anyone cross from over where you are to get to us." And he answered and he said, "I beg you then, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brothers. Please warn them that they won't come to this place of torment." In hell today, there are kingdom builders. They don't want anybody there. They're probably the most evangelistically driven people on the planet, but they can't do anything about it. Now, this is not about Lazarus. If you want to understand just a little bit theologically, the bosom of Abraham was a place that was actually on the other side of where actual hell is, and there's a chasm between the two that's fixed, and you can't pass between the two. And the bosom of Abraham was where those under the Abrahamic covenant went when they died, waiting for a savior. That's why in the book of Ephesians, when Jesus rose from the dead, he said he led captivity captive. He literally emptied out Abraham's bosom and brought them into the Father when the price, the promissory note of the blood of a lamb, but the blood of the Lamb of God, the Son of God, would be shed for them. But I want you to understand something very, very critical about what's happening right now on planet Earth and in your own heart. Even hell's inhabitants desire right now to be kingdom builders. And once in hell, you can't come into the kingdom of God. "Yeah, but I think I get to come back as somebody else." Well, you don't. The scripture tells us this simple fact: it is appointed unto men once to die, and then after that, the judgment. There's no second shot. There is no second chance. There's such a desperation that of the reality of heaven and hell that God actually came and paid a debt that you could never pay. And then once in heaven, as he said here, he said, those who want to go from this place of comfort over there to empty it, even if you could in heaven, even if you were able to experience and understand that there were people in that place, even if you want to go at that point, you can't. And here's what I want you to understand today. It's so important. Now is the only time that you can be sent by God to be a kingdom builder, right now in your life. I need to get a few more things together. Let's not kid ourselves. Time goes so quickly. Don't keep God out of the parts of your life that are most broken. And don't dismiss your life because it may be broken or even so sin-stained that you think, "What could God do ever with me?" Because as a kingdom builder, I want you to understand there are steps you can take. In fact, every one of us are called to take these steps. They're not a burden, by the way. In fact, when you live this way, you will live your life to a degree of satisfaction internally that you may have never known. In fact, I would tell you, you do not know what it means to be fully contented on this planet until you live beyond yourself. And the first simple thing is this: you have to tell them. You have to tell others about the God who rescued you. And most people really do want to do that, but most people just don't know how. I mean, Pastor John, what am I going to do? Go in my neighborhood, knock on doors. "Hello, can I tell you about the Lord?" How many of you know that? Doesn't that feel a little creepy? Now, for some of you that are built that way, you're like, "I love it." But for those of us that, you know, that don't have psychological issues, I'm teasing. Everybody's different. I'm just joking. But isn't it, for most of you, don't you kind of go, I can't. Or go on a street corner and go, Jesus loves you. You're like, You have a circle of influence that God wants you to reach with your story. Tell them your story. Just tell them what God's done for you. Yeah, but I'm not perfect. Yeah, they know. Tell them that too. It isn't about your perfection. It's about his redemption. But you said, how do I win them to Christ? One of the simplest ways to do that is to bring them to a place where they'll hear the story and give the opportunity to make a decision and using your influence for that. Many of you did that for At the Movies. Candidly, not enough of us did it. But in that very brief series, 190 people gave their lives to Jesus. Come on, man, isn't that wonderful? So I want to encourage every one of you now. Coming up at the Christmas show, there'll be between 18 and 20,000 people here. And I'm right now asking you to be seeking God about who's around you, because it is the easiest thing in the world to get to someone, to get them to come see a show at that level of performance. You would pay for that. And it's free. There'll be a modest thing to be able to do some crowd control. But other than that, you've got to get people here that are in your influence that are far from God. Every one of us should be seeking God. How do I fill up a row? Because over that time period, when everybody's celebrating Christmas and running around like crazy people, we can see 1,000 people come to know Jesus and actually celebrate the reason he came. Or we can just ignore it and not be kingdom builders. You have to tell them. And then the second thing every one of us, not every other one of us, all of us are required to do is to send others to tell the story. In fact, the book of Romans says that they cannot go unless you send them. And I want to help you understand something that every one of us should be telling and every one of us should be sending. And so one of the ways you do that is through your giving. Now, for some of you, God may tap you on the shoulder and send you somewhere. Many of you are going to go on mission trips, and those are amazing things, and you should do it. But for many of us, we will never stand and live on foreign soils or places that I can never go physically, but I can go as a kingdom builder, as I join together with God's people, and I can go in my giving. That's why on the weekend of November 9th and 10th, the impact offering, I want please hear my heart. I'm not a fundraiser. I'm a faith raiser. This is not about money. Can I tell you, when you die and you stand before God, you won't give a flip about money. The only thing you carry to heaven are human beings. That's it. Everything else burns up. It's wasted away and will mean nothing to you. In my heart for every one of us that will look at November 9th and 10th as a way to do whatever God has led us to do. For some, it will appear to others to be a very modest thing, but in the context of your life, it won't be modest. But for many of you, God may touch your heart to do significant things. For tens and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars. You mark this down. Mark this down. Over the years, as we do what we do as a church, as kingdom builders, you mark this down. There will be multiple times the gifts of well over $1 million come in. Every penny of it goes outside the walls of this church. Because God has called us not just to tell, but to send. And again, people have already done that here up to the point of $750,000. But in the gap is that amount of money that what doesn't come in doesn't get funded. And people stand in the gap. That's why I'm asking you not to do the math. Do your part. So I'm asking every one of you to do something. Purpose in your heart. Do something. Pray. Say, Lord, what would you have me do? And just honor and obey his voice. There's something that John Wesley said that I think is just such an incredible statement. He said, oh Lord, do not let me live my life to be useless. What will it matter if you live your whole life and solve your problems and even prosper and have the things you want and need, but none of it mattered beyond this life? Because there really is an end of life, and we really do stand before God. And there really is an accounting for the believer, either as a reward of your life, and you carry that reward throughout eternity, or you come into eternity simply saved, as the Bible said, as of by fire, and you carry nothing with you. Some of the most significant people on planet Earth today will carry nothing in eternity, even believers, because they didn't live their life beyond that. Let me close by telling you a story that I experienced, something very, very impacting in my life. How many of y'all know who John Maxwell is? And John Maxwell is probably, if not the foremost authority on leadership across the board in the world. I mean, he's sold over 20 million books on leadership. And I had the privilege to go pheasant hunting with John Maxwell. And yeah, I don't hunt much. And in fact, that's the second time I went pheasant hunting. And the other time was 30 years ago, and I didn't shoot anything. Not that I didn't try. But this time, you know, I'm pheasant hunting with John Maxwell and six other guys. And these are some of the most incredible leaders in the nation. You say, well, how did you get in that room? Can I tell you something about following God with your life? God will put you in rooms, not because you need to be in a room because it's something for your well-being or your wants, but God will put you in the rooms that need to happen so that the kingdom of God can be expanded, not just in ministry, but in business and in life. He'll put you in rooms you will never get into until you put him first and put his kingdom first. So I had a blast. I was sitting for hours and hours talking to John Maxwell, just me and a couple other guys, and just peppering him with questions, taking notes. I just thought, am I really listening to this? Is this real? We all did a podcast with him. It was a lot of fun. But then that Friday morning, we were going to hunt in the morning and then fly out that afternoon. We're sitting around having breakfast, and John opened his heart to us a little bit more deeply. It kind of, you know, just a handful of guys, it got very intimate. And he said, you know, guys, most people think that my gift, my spiritual gift, is leadership. It's not. My spiritual gift is evangelism, not leadership. And he said, I've sold 20 million books. And if I sell 100 million books, and all they've ever done was help people better their own life on the earth or made a company greater, then it will mean nothing in eternity. It will burn up, and I will have failed, and I will have wasted my life. Because none of it will matter for eternity. He said, the reason God has given me this gift with leadership is so that it gives me access to bring the gospel to a group of people that no one has access to. And I don't have time to tell you what his ministry does, but John Maxwell goes into nations of the world only by the invitation of the head of state. And that head of state demands, if you will, that the army generals, the key politicians and the leaders of the nation. So he'll have 3,000 to 6,000 people in a room, all leaders of a nation, usually 70% to 90% aren't even believers. 250,000 people came to Christ last year face to face with him in these meetings. And these are the leaders of the world. It's remarkable. And he said, but I'm going to tell you guys how it happened. When I was a young man in my 20s, I was pastoring a church, and it had grown significantly to a place to where rarely were churches of that size anywhere in America. And I was, you know, really drilled down into building this ministry in this church. And a family one of their family members come in to visit, and they wanted me to meet them and spend time with their family member. I knew this family member didn't know Jesus, and I knew that ideally they were wanting me to kind of influence them, to talk to them about Christ. And I spent 2 or 3 hours with this person, but what I found myself doing is telling this person all the things we were doing and kind of almost just look what we're doing, and kind of, you know, as a young person, I want you to see what we've done. And he said, you know, I just didn't even talk to him about Jesus. I know I should have, but I just didn't. And I got home later that afternoon. This was before cell phones. And several hours passed. I get home, and my wife, Margaret's at the front door, said, John, you need to go down to the funeral home. The man you were with this morning just fell over dead. He's there, the family's there, because he's from this community. All their family will come in. They're going to do the funeral here. They want you to do the funeral. You need to head down there. He said, I went down to the funeral home. And when you're a pastor, they take you behind the scenes when you see the funeral director. And I went into the room where he was laying on this cold, hard, basically looked like a bathtub with just small lip around it. And he's laying there. And I look down and I see his body. He said, and then it hit me. And this happened over 40 years ago in his life. And now he can't talk anymore. He's crying to where he can't get the words out. He said, God sent him to me to hear about Jesus, and I didn't tell him. And except something happened that I don't know about, I'm looking at a man that is in hell without Christ because I didn't tell him. I believe God sent him to me as his last chance, and I didn't tell him. And he's crying. He said, I did his funeral, and I've done, as you can imagine, more than he can count funerals through the years when he was a pastor. That was the hardest funeral I've ever done in my life. Because throughout the funeral, I could barely breathe knowing how I did not tell him. And he says, from those early days as a young man, I've lived every day of my life. How do I leverage everything I have, every penny I make, every dollar I earn, every book I write to see people go to heaven? And once he finished saying that, a pastor that was there who is literally pastoring the fastest growing church in the history of the nation right now. So it wasn't Joel Osteen, okay? I don't see Joel shooting stuff anyway, but that's another story. And he stopped and he said, John, would you pray for us that God's understanding and that anointing, if you will come upon us? Will you lay your hands on each of us and pray for us? Now, the minute that he asked for that, and that pastor's name is Jeremy Foster, it was like, if you open the sprinkler system in this room and we all started to feel water, God's presence fell so unexpectedly and it was so tangible and real. It was overwhelming. And he began to pray for us. And there was one of the younger guys that were there were really good with their phone. How many of you know younger folks would be good with the phone? And he recorded it. And so I just want you to hear just 1 minute of it. Of John praying for us. But before I do, I want to just mention one last thing to you is this. You can live your dream in this life and yet still have no kingdom impact. Don't waste your life as a Christian. Don't live for a dream that won't matter when you're gone. You were called for more. You were made for more. You say, well, is my dream wrong? No, you've just kept God out of your dream. God gave you that. But he wants it to be used beyond you for the things you think it might be used for. Every person in this room is called to be a kingdom builder. Before I show you this, I want you to, the privilege today, we have 3 kingdom builders here that are from out of town. This came happenstance. They didn't know, I didn't know they'd be coming on this weekend. One, and I'll have them stand in a moment, is Pastor Getohun, who is a pastor in Ethiopia, who oversees and has started 800 churches and started 12 schools. That's a kingdom builder. We're honored to have you here, sir. Stan Mathias is here. We supported Stan's ministry from Victory for, I guess, going on 2 decades now. And Stan ministers in, I'll just say Southeast Asia because I can't name the nations that he's in. And the work that they've done there, incredible. A network in the underground church of now over 2.5 million people in the underground church under that network that he's been a part of starting. And now he's moved over into reaching unreached people groups in Southeast Asia, and they've just completed a Bible in a language that didn't exist. They wrote a language, this group of people, and then created the scripture in their language. And now the Word of God is going to be able to be taught. People are going to be able to understand the written word in this language. And already in that 2.1 million group of people that have never even, they don't even have a name for the Word of God or God's name in their language. 2.1 million people. And it's already, they had, now I think they're up to 8 or 9 churches that have already been planted, and it will expand, and the gospel of the kingdom, as Jesus said, will be preached throughout all the earth, and then the end will come. And then there's a businessman that's here, Steve Johans. That's how they say it in South Africa, Johans. And Steve was a part of Victory almost a decade ago. But when Steve was here a decade ago, his marriage was failing. And he lived in 7 fields, and I think Steve would be fine if I told you this. He was sitting in his garage with the car on, about to take his life. Except Jesus saved him, and he saved his marriage. That's why churches exist. And there was a dream in his heart to make a difference in the world. And he started a company and a business. And I don't have time to give you the details, but all I can tell you, this might help you understand the gravity and the effectiveness of this business. Microsoft has said, we want to be a part of it. How many think Microsoft, they're pretty good at judging stuff that might work, huh? But here's what I want to understand about Steve, is that though this is going to be and is a remarkable thing that's being done, it's about God's kingdom. So there are two ministers here and one business person. Every one of them are equally committed to the building of the kingdom of God and are kingdom builders. And God doesn't have two different levels. It's one level, one body. So with the three of you stand so you can just welcome them here with us today. Thank them for coming. Thank you for coming so much. God bless you. I'm going to have them stand up with me by the fountain so you can come and greet them if you'd like. But I want you to just listen to the prayer John Maxwell prayed, and then I'm going to give you the opportunity to have the very same thing happen to you that happened to me that morning. Just take a quick listen.
They just love you and they love the church. You have called them and you've really blessed them. You've blessed them, every one of them. They've been covered by your care and by your grace and by your blessings.
Jesus.
And so I'm just grateful to know them, to be with them and to learn from them and be a friend. But I do come,
Jesus,
into your presence asking for a special anointing.
Yes, go.
You're going to have to do for them what they can't do for themselves today.
Just pray over Sean, God. Just, he's precious, he's special. I just want you to just, right now, give him a fresh feeling of the Holy Spirit. And he'll see souls like he's never seen souls. Oh, God, that harvest field is ripe. Covering.
There were six of us in that room, and when he began to pray, the presence of God fell so strongly, the six of us began to weep. And I don't mean like kind of, I mean like ugly cry. God's presence fell so strongly. And what I know God wants to do for you, I've already prayed this over our staff, is I want every one of you who desire to be a kingdom builder, who understand that, like John prayed for us, is that there's things that you can't do without God. You just can't, and you shouldn't even try. But oh, he wants to labor together with you to be a kingdom builder in your life, no matter what your life looks like today, no matter what your life looks like today. If you desire to have happen to you what happened to me on that Friday morning, I want to pray for you just like John prayed for me. And I know in my heart, as it did last night, God's presence will fill this room and you will leave here with a deposit from God to be a kingdom builder in your life, an equipping that comes from the head of the church, not a man. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor John, I want what John Maxwell prayed over you to be prayed over me today, I'm going to ask you just simply to stand right where you are, and I'm going to pray for every person standing. Do it right now. If that's what you desire in your heart, to live your life as a kingdom builder. Father, as every person in this room is standing, I thank you that Jesus, you said, now go, I'm sending you. And Lord, I pray that you birth in every one of us your love for those without you today. A desperation to see people that don't know you to come to Christ, to know that on the other side of this life, which is going to end so quickly for all of us, is an eternity with or without you. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence in this room, that you would fall upon them as you fell upon us that day, that you would equip them with supernatural endowments of your Spirit, that they would be a kingdom builder, not in some theory, but in action. That they would go tell what you've done for them. That they will use opportunities like the Christmas show to be a kingdom builder. That they will look at the impact offering not as a have to, not as a burden, but as the privilege of taking what is temporal money that will pass away and turning it into eternity for human beings today that are lost and broken. I pray for every one of them, Lord, not to do the math, but to do their part. And I pray for every one of them to seek your heart as to the part they should play, that there would be 100% participation in this church, in this offering, to build the kingdom of our God. And Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. As you're seated, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, if today you stopped breathing and you went into eternity, do you know where you would spend it? There really is a heaven and there really is a hell. And this is one of the most sacred moments of a human being's life. So I'd ask, if you're already a Christian, to be reverent and realize that somebody's eternity is hanging in the balance. So don't disturb that. Be reverent. If you're here today and you don't know what would happen to you if you drew your final breath, do you know where you'd spend your forever? Well, Pastor John, I hope I'd go to heaven because I've been a pretty good person, or I was baptized as a baby, or I've had sacraments of my church, or I go to Victory. You know, all of those things are wonderful, but none of those things will make you right with God. No church and no sacrament of any church can make you a Christian. No pastor, no priest, including this pastor in this church. Only by receiving the Son of the Living God, who died and paid your debt and was buried and then rose from the dead and lives forevermore, that when you receive him into your life, he said, I turn no one away. He will make you brand new and your sin debt will be gone. He'll make you a new creation and you'll be heaven bound when you die, not because of you, but because of him and your wisdom to yield to his presence and his call on your life to give your life to the one who gave his life for you. So if you're here this morning and you would say, you know, Pastor John, that's me. I don't know what would happen to me if I died. I don't know that I've ever given my life to Christ. I've tried to be good. I've gone to church. I've been religious, but I don't know if I died today where I'd spend my eternity. I don't know that I've ever asked Christ into my life, or I'm not sure. Would you please pray for me? In a moment, I'll pray for you and I'll do it. Please hear me right where you're seated. In a moment, I'll ask you to acknowledge you desire to receive Christ right where you're seated through an uplifted hand, and the whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. I'm not here. You won't be singled out. You won't be embarrassed. This isn't about your heroics. It's about his. And he turns no one away. So the question for you today, what will you do with Jesus, the one who loves you and gave his life for you? So with every head bowed, every eye closed, those of you who are even watching online or listening to this at another time, what will you say to the one who gave his life for you? So with heads bowed and eyes closed, say, Pastor, please include me in a prayer. I want to invite Christ into my heart right where I'm at. I want to make him this Lord and Savior of my life and turn my life to him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Would you lift your hand right now where you're seated and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. There's so many hands everywhere. And now let me finally say this. You can put your hands back down. If you didn't raise your hand because you thought, I don't want, that guy's going to embarrass me, you can see that I'm not now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd say, Pastor, I really do want to be prayed for, and now I realize nothing bad's going to happen to me. You're not going to single me out. Right where you're seated, every head bowed, eye closed, you didn't raise your hand, say, please include me as well. Just lift your hand right now, and I'll pray for you also. Do it right now. Don't walk out of here without a Savior. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, you pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you, never forsake you. In a moment, Kelly will come and dismiss us in prayer and give you some next steps to take so that you can walk with God in your everyday life. Oh, how he loves you. Pray this out loud where you hear it. In a moment, we're going to pray together with you. And I want to encourage every one of you, please be back here next week as I share some things that are so sacred that God's dealt with, he showed me things that are, they're world changing. They are world changing. And God, you have a part in it. And those of you that are receiving Jesus today, you have as much of a part in it as someone who's been a Christian for 100 years. God, he has only kids, not special ones. You're in his family in a moment. Pray this out loud where you hear it, and we're going to pray together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father,
blessed by God's word.
I come to you in Jesus' name.
Resources and podcasts,
and I believe with all my heart
on who we are,
that Jesus is the Son of God.
Please visit our website,
He died on a cross to bear the debt of my sin. So I open the door of my heart and life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin debt is canceled. I will live for you. You are the Lord and the Savior of my life. Amen, amen, amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you.